org.
This is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for May 12th, 2017. And we got another great show for you today. As I talked about last week, I have given my last word on the bond measure. But with the election coming up, we're going to talk about that just a little bit here. And my interview for today will be a replay of my most recent interview with school board member Rob Heilman, and discussing the bond measure with the election. Your ballots are due on Tuesday. And so I wanted to get that information out there one more time, because it still seems like a lot of people are on the fence about the bond measure. A lot of people not sure which way they want to go on that. There's been a lot of information put out there. Of course, we talked last week about the letter to the editor in the newspaper from former school board member Howard Wand, and there's been a lot of reaction to that. There was a couple of new letters in this week's paper in response to Mr. Wand's letter. One of those was written by Rob Heilman. And so I will feature Rob's interview in just a little bit. We'll have that interview for you. Before we do that, I want to give out the numbers here to the show. If you want to call the show, you can do that at 541-299-0498. Once again, 541-299-0498. And anyone that wants to call in today, if you want to talk about the upcoming election, of course, the bond issue, there's one contested race for the school board. And so if there's anything you want to talk about that, or anything else going on in the community, we'd love to hear from you. You can also reach us by email, feedback@943thebridge.com. Once again, that's feedback@943thebridge.com. And I want to give a quick shout out to Stephanie Lee. She listened to last week's show, and she had had some things that I talked about she wanted to share with me, and I got a nice email from Stephanie, so I wanted to thank her for that. We always appreciate getting feedback from our listeners, and it definitely helps me with the show to know what it's missing, what you want to hear. And so I'd love to get those emails from you if there's things that you'd like me to talk about, or you have an opinion about something that I've talked about. So let's take a look at some of the things going on in the news. Of course, I mentioned the election, and ballots are due this coming Tuesday. And, you know, we have a vote by mail system here in Oregon, as most of you know. But surprisingly, even with the ease of vote by mail, the turnout for an off-year election like this, where there's no national races, there's no even state races, it's mostly all local things that you're voting on, the turnout is much lower for these types of elections. And I understand to a certain extent why that is, but I don't quite get with vote by mail. This was supposed to be, you know, make it easy for everybody, and more people would vote. And maybe the numbers are higher than they used to be. I don't really know that. It's been vote by mail since I've lived here, for the 16 years that I've been here. But it doesn't seem to help the numbers in those off elections. It seems like people just don't seem to pay much attention to it, unless, you know, there's a presidential race, or at least, you know, one of the senators is up. So I'm not sure why that would be, but I would encourage you to get your ballots in. We've got a couple of things locally that definitely, you know, you may want to have a say in. And if you don't get those ballots in, your vote won't be counted. So you need to get those in. And again, I think we've covered the bond measure quite a bit here, and I'm going to replay that interview to give you some of the facts about the bond measure. And I'm not trying to lean you one way or the other. I want you to vote the way that you see fit based on your family and your needs and what you think is best for the community. I just think that Rob's interview was probably the most informational segment that we've had on the show. So I wanted to use that so that you can understand what the bond's going to be used for. But you got to decide, you know, on taxation and whether or not you're going to support that ultimately. Another thing I mentioned, the one contested race for school board is between Misty Jacob and Rich Party. And of course, we had Misty on the show a couple of weeks back, and I didn't really bring her on the show to talk about the school board. We did talk about that a little bit, but she originally was scheduled on the show as, you know, just as a Weimar community member. She's one of the people that runs the Weimar page, and that was why I initially asked her to come on the show. Then, in the time between contacting her and her actually appearing on the show, I found out that she was running for school board. So we talked about that a little bit. She didn't choose to contrast her views with Rich Party's views, and I appreciate that. I don't think this is a contentious election by any means. But I'll admit, you know, that I dropped the ball a little bit as far as getting Rich onto the show. And I didn't get that done, and I do apologize that I didn't make that happen. And but I would encourage you to, you know, look at, you can go to the voter pamphlet, and apparently Rich did not turn in information to be included in the voter pamphlet, but he's not in there. However, he's been on the school board for quite a few years, so you can kind of judge what he's done in the past and what the school board has done, and base at least partially your vote on that. Misty did put her information into the voter pamphlet, so it is there. You can go and read that, and you know, make your choice, you know, based on what they're saying, or in the case of Rich, what he's done in the past. The one thing I will say about Rich is that he's the only of the members that voted in favor of closing the Evans Valley School. And that's always talked about as the contested beloved school being closed. I don't necessarily hold to that completely. I think opinions on that were actually pretty split at the time. Of course, most of the people that lived in Weimar wanted to save the school, and a lot of the people that didn't either didn't care or wanted the school to do what was best for the, you know, for their finances. And there was plenty of people in both geographic locations that fell on the other side of the argument. So it wasn't, you know, 50-50 by any means, but you know, the opinions were very varied, and ultimately they did close the school. And I think it says something about the fact that Rich has survived, you know, on the school board since the closure of the school. You know, he got lumped in with the other members that ultimately voted to close the school, and maybe unfairly. So, you know, I would have you consider that he's stuck with it since then, and it would have been easy to kind of cut and run and, you know, bend to the, you know, the outrage of some members of the community, and he's stuck with it. And, you know, by all estimation, I think he's done a pretty good job. So, you know, I think that's something that you have to dig into yourself again, just like the bond measure, and make your own decision on that. I think either one of the parties will do an excellent job. Again, we had Misty on here, and I have no doubt that she could do a nice job. So, bottom line, there is some things that are important to our community. So I would encourage you, just vote, get those ballots out, get them filled out, and get them turned in. They need to be in by Tuesday. So in some other news, also related to the school district, the school district has established a one single fund now for the athletic programs and their expenditures in the athletic programs. And this fund will cover all of the athletic expenditures except for transportation. That'll still be done separately. But one of the interesting things that I saw when the news came out that they've established this fund is they've also created a pay structure to pay all the coaches across the district, including the middle school coaches. And this was done partially due to negotiations with the local teachers union. And I've got a little bit to say about that, but the first thing I'll say is I want to know if this new fee structure is going to be applied retroactively, because if so, I'd like my $5,250 for my coaching years. And actually, if seventh and eighth grade basketball are paid separately as separate teams, then really I want my $7,000. So you guys can send that check right to me. But no, it's obviously not retroactive. But I think it is good that all the coaches are getting paid and that there is a pay structure set up. The only caveat I would have to that is, because the negotiation was with the teachers union, I don't think there will be, but I want to hope that there's not preferential treatment given to teachers that want to coach. I would hope that that they'll pick the best person for the job in each instance. And the reason I say that is there's a couple of reasons. One, some of the best coaches we've had in the years that I've lived here, none of them were teachers. Well, I shouldn't say none of them. None of the ones I'm thinking of. There's been some good coaches that have also been teachers. Coach DeBolt was a very dedicated coach. In fact, he filled in again last year when Coach Kolkow couldn't complete the whole season. So I'm not saying that there can't be good coaches from the ranks of the teachers. Absolutely there can. But a lot of the good coaches don't come from the teacher, from the teaching ranks. And I think for the students that aren't involved in athletics, you can cut down on the disruption of classes by not having as many teachers that are also coaches constantly leaving for trips, and as a lot of our teams travel quite a bit at times. Our basketball team a year ago was all over the place, all over the state and even down into California. We go in our conference, we go all the way out to Lakeview. I mean, that's 3.5 hours each way. So as you can imagine, the coaches are leaving school, sometimes in the morning, sometimes at noon, to leave with the teams, and it can be very disruptive. And so for those two reasons, I hope that it's still kind of an equal, that they take an equal look at the people that are interested in coaching. And and I can honestly say at the pay scale that they're offering, for these positions, especially with the middle school jobs are paying, significantly less, but it's less of a commitment. And I can say that as someone who is a middle school coach, it's not near the commitment that the high school coaches have to make. In some cases it's almost a year round coaching job. The basketball, they'll do, they call it summer league, but it's spring league that, and toward the end of the school year, and they take the kids to camps over the summer. So it is a year-round commitment, where with the middle school, basically it's a season-long commitment. But at the level that they're offering, the you know, it makes it worthwhile. I mean, I would consider going back. I really enjoyed my time coaching. I was there mainly because my daughter was playing and they needed coaches, and I, because I'm self-employed, I was able to make the time to do it. But that extra little bit of money that they're putting up now definitely makes it easier for somebody to take the time out of their job or their business and to do that. So I applaud it. I just hope that because the union was involved, that they're not, you know, giving a little bit of preference to the teachers. And I don't know that that'll be the case. I'm just kind of surmising things and hoping that all things are done fairly. And I expect that, you know, that they will be. So let me quickly get into some Rogue River sports before I run out of time. And I got to tell you, it's been a crazy day and I've had nothing but trouble with audio. So when we go to play this interview, if it doesn't work, I do have a backup plan, but we're going to give it a shot. I've been struggling with computers on and off all day today. So let's get over and look at the sports really quickly. The golf team finished fifth at the district tournament, and that there was a 110 shot separation between the first place team and the third place team. So that's quite a separation between first to third, and first through third all move on into the state tournament. And the Chieftains were only 22 shots out of third place. So that's a pretty good showing, especially for a really young team. This is a team that's going to be up and coming, and they've had a great season. And in fact, the coach Rob Isom was picked as the District 4 Coach of the Year. And that tells you that, you know, this has just been a great season for Chieftain Golf. And hopefully it'll continue into the future with this young team, and maybe they can get some more recruits for next year, especially on the girls' side. They could use some more players. But, you know, we want to salute them for that. And looking at track and field really quickly from the most recent meet at Illinois Valley, some of the top 10 finishers from the Chieftain teams in that meet, Cameron Smith, the Rogue Talk mascot, had a second place finish in the 3000, was also fifth at the 1500. Jonah Maris was 10th in the 1500. Aiden Canoe with a fifth place finish in the 300 hurdles. Carson Smith was fifth in the javelin, fourth in the pole vault, and ninth in the long jump. So Carson spending all his time over at the field events there. Aaron Hansen was third, and Grant Fehrenbacher was ninth in the triple jump. And over on the girls' side, Madison Bless was sixth, and Alyssa Wolf was ninth in the 100 hurdles. And finally, Courtney Secreta was sixth in the javelin. Lorraine Pearson was ninth in the javelin. And Courtney Secreta was also seventh in the long jump. So good job there to the Chieftain track and field team. And they're off to their district meet. In fact, they're competing right now over in Lakeview. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And finally, baseball and softball action. The baseball team still looking for their first conference victory. They dropped a pair last Friday at Cascade Christian and then followed that up with a heartbreaking loss at Lakeview. And they'll be in action again tomorrow. And also the softball team, kind of a heartbreak on the softball side. They shut out Cascade Christian on a game right here on 94.3 The Bridge. 12-0 in the first game in five innings. And the second game, they were actually leading when there was a power outage and the lights went out. The umpires ultimately have the decision on whether to continue playing or not. They did continue playing. And as it turns out, before the power came back on, the Chieftains were the only team to be on defense during the power outage. It resulted in Amanda Ernest misplaying a ball out in center field and injuring herself on the play. And ultimately, Cascade came back to win that game, and that secured them the they will win the regular season conference title with that win on in the second half of a doubleheader. So it was a bit of a controversy, and but the girls bounced back, and they won at Lakeview on Tuesday with a come-from-behind victory on Tuesday, and they will also be playing tomorrow to close out the conference season. And if I have any time in the final segment, we'll get to that, but I'm running out of time to get this interview in, so we will take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have my interview from a couple of weeks back with Rob Heilman. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk
on 94.3 The Bridge.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to Rum River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. We're going to start with NBA playoff action, and the San Antonio Spurs, they are moving on to meet the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. LaMarcus Aldridge had team highs of 34 points and 12 rebounds as the Spurs ripped the Rockets 114-75 in Houston to win the conference semifinals in six games yesterday. San Antonio carried a 19-point lead into the second half and removed all doubt by outscoring the Rockets 27-11 in the final period. Spurs forward LaMarcus Aldridge.
I thought we finally came out as the more aggressive team. I thought we were more active. I thought we scrambled better. I thought we, you know, followed the game plan to the best that we've done in a while.
The Western Conference Finals begin Sunday in Oakland. In the East, the Cleveland Cavaliers await the winner of the Boston-Washington series. Boston up 3-2. This is SRN Sports. Moving on to Major League Baseball yesterday in the American League, it was Kansas City over the Rays 6-0, Houston 3, Yankees 2, the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 7-2, Minnesota 7, White Sox 6, Tigers over the Angels 7-1. In the National League yesterday, just three games, Colorado 10, Dodgers 7, Arizona beat Pittsburgh 2-1, Reds 3, Giants 2. Interleague play, the Red Sox beat Milwaukee 4-1, Texas 5, Padres 2, Orioles and Nationals rained out. NFL news, a person with knowledge of the decision tells the AP that Cleveland Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon has been denied reinstatement by the NFL, but he can reapply in the fall. Gordon has been suspended several times by the league, including the current ban for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. The 26-year-old Gordon rejoined the Browns last summer, then entered a rehab facility in September. With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and as I mentioned, I have an interview I'm going to try and play, and we'll see if I can get this to work, and I may have to cut it off early. I ran a little long in that first segment, but let's see if I can get this working here, and we'll let you listen to that. And apparently that's not going to work, so let's try one more thing here. I apologize. This has been a crazy day. This time of year as a landscaper, or a landscape maintenance person anyhow, things are pretty crazy in my business right now. Everything growing like crazy. But let's see. Let's try this again here. And this may not start at the exact right spot, but we'll give it a shot here.
Abilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Run to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Here's my interview with Rob Heilman. Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and now joining me in the studio, a school board member and the president of the Rogue River Chieftain Booster Club, Rob Heilman. Welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Thank you for having me.
So, of course, we've got you here today to talk about the upcoming bond measure on the May ballot. And, of course, we had a bond measure on the ballot previously, and it went down in defeat. So before we kind of get into what this bond is for and why we think we should support it, why do you think maybe it went down in defeat? And now in this area, there's a lot of history of people not wanting new taxes, but really this wasn't a new tax. I mean, it was replacing an old bond, and nothing was really going to change except that we would continue to get the funding that we need for the schools. But do you have any feeling of why you think that may have gone down?
Absolutely. Actually, after the vote in November, what we did is we went out, or a couple of us went out and tried to get feedback from the community as best we could, both verbally, Facebook, a couple different avenues. And we got some good responses from people that were willing to say, okay, I didn't vote yes because of this reason. And once, that you see that on Facebook, kind of starts to, one person says something and it kind of rolls into a large chain there. And it was actually really positive in a way, because it showed us, what we didn't realize ahead of time. So a couple things. First, some common threads from that feedback. One was, you kind of hit on it, this area in particular it's very common to find people that say, I don't want any more taxes, or I want no taxes at all. It's kind of that mentality. And I'm not here to say there's anything wrong with that, but that's one of the common threads that we heard is, well, even if they understood that it wasn't going to raise taxes, they were just wanting no tax, fewer taxes in general. So that was one common thread. Another one that was often, that was a big one that came up a lot, was just a general mistrust and kind of mismanagement of funds, of mismanagement of financials for the district. And that as you dove more into those specifics, that kind of went off in two directions. One was previous mismanagement of the bond that is about to pass, about to finish from 15 years ago. There's a large segment of the community that feels that wasn't spent on what it was supposed to go towards. And then there's just a general also feeling from some people that feel like, oh, it's a school district. They mismanage funds all the time. As a school district, you guys just bought new chairs, you bought new desks, you gave teachers raises, you got new lockers. That money could have gone towards the stuff you're asking us for. And so just this kind of general feeling that the district mismanaged funds across the board, both in the past and in the present. So that was another kind of common thread that we heard from. And then there were some that were just, I don't have kids in the district. Why should I pay for the schools? I didn't have enough information about the bond, and so I just voted no. And so those were some of the common threads that we found as we got some feedback.
Yeah, and I think there's some legitimate arguments to be made, especially when it comes to not just maybe how the district has spent money in the past, but more so the communication to the people that live in the district, and more specifically even to the people that have kids, that do have kids in the district, that, hey, we're doing this. This is where the monies came from. And what it really kind of ends up is you get some people knew about it, but a lot of people, they start seeing new lockers on Facebook, or they start seeing all this old furniture for sale at the elementary school, and they're like, what are we doing? Where's this money? Where's all this money coming from? And so even if there's no actual misuse of the money, mm-hmm. there's that perception. So exactly. I can definitely understand that.
Exactly.
And let me play devil's advocate a little bit here, sure. because I definitely hear some things, and I'm not necessarily in a position to defend or to agree with what's said. But I hear a lot of things about people being unhappy with what's going on with the district, and it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the money that's being spent. But we're seeing a lot of turnover with staff and with teachers, and we have a recent hire from just this past year that is leaving, and there's some controversy there about that, and I don't want to get into the details of that. Of course, that's not really something we need to cover today, but that's where some people may be getting a little distrust with the district in particular. Is there any real way for that to be addressed from your perspective as someone supporting the bond? Because I know they're two separate issues.
Sure, that, you know, that is a tough one because they are two separate issues. But in let's be honest, I mean, anything that ties to the district oftentimes will run into your general support of that cause. So it's all those are very important questions. And so any of those kind of issues, they're both separate and they're both the same. And so, you know, there are a variety of questions that came up at our forum last night also that didn't necessarily pertain to the bond, but they're issues that people want to build trust or want their, you know, their questions answered to assure that the district is in the right hands, I guess is the best way to put that. And, you know, that's a tough one. I mean, we have made a lot of strides in the last 6 years since I've been on the school board. You know, that was about, I've been around the schools about 7 years, and that's when I decided to get involved. And I can tell you that we're in a much better position than we were 6 years ago. Now, to the specific issue that you're referring to, you know, teachers, that's been a problem since I've been here as well. Part of that over the years, my first few years was due to, pay. You know, pay was a big issue for a couple years when I first got involved. We've now corrected that. You know, we've made some huge strides and corrected the teachers' pay significantly. So we're on par with a lot of the districts locally. Some of them from this year are more, you know, specific. There's more details involved. And so, you know, it's one of those that our attrition rate this year will be significantly less than it has been in past years. But however, we still will lose some really good people, and that's never fun. And those are ones that concern me as well as a school board member. And I'm very astute to that. I try to stay very abreast of the details, the finer details, and give my input and help maybe steer the direction as best I can based on what I'm hearing.
Sure. Now, you mentioned you had a forum last night, and we hadn't mentioned this yet, but there was a forum last night out in Weimar, and there'll be another forum next Thursday at the Rock here in town.
Correct.
And that's a good opportunity for people to come out and voice their concerns and get their questions answered. And so, you did mention that you had to answer some of those concerns last night. How were you happy with the turnout last night? And do you think that maybe there may be a better opportunity with another week of talk about what's going on to get more people out to next Tuesday's event?
I was happy with the turnout, but I also, anytime you're in charge of or you're involved in one of those events, you always want more. You want more people. And in that kind of environment, you know, we particularly chose Weimar to start there for a reason. You know, I think that in the past for Rogue River, there's always this kind of back and forth of, you know, it's the city and it's Weimar. And I think you know, this school board and this administration in particular has really tried to make, you know, take great strides into connect the two communities. And so, you know, we wanted to start in Weimar and really try to get the word out there. The turnout could have been better. I would have loved the turnout to be a little bit better. I mean, we still mostly filled the room, but it's kind of one of those things in this environment, especially with the bond failing in November. What I would really love is for those that have questions about it, those that maybe voted no, to come and learn more about it, to hear the counter proposals as to why we support this or think it's important, and or to even just voice, look, you know, they could stand in a room of people, their fellow community members, and say, I'm voting no for this reason. You know, we've put the title of forum on it for a reason. I mean, it's an educational forum, but at the end of the day, we will give any amount of time for anybody in the community to ask questions, to also address their concerns, whether it's just informational or whether it's just I'm voting no for this reason, and to try to convince their fellow community members. And that's, you know, really the goal. We want this to be an open process, and so that's why we've created at least these three events. I would have loved to have some of the people that said no at that event last night, even though I know that sounds kind of counterintuitive. Why would you want the people that are, you know, voting against it to be there? But really, we want those people there. We want their voice heard as well. We want them to give their reasons why they may not support it. And it's just a good kind of back and forth. One thing we did talk about after the meeting is, you know, if we feel like people say to us, yeah, I couldn't make that event, but I wouldn't mind coming and giving my voice or, you know, addressing some concerns, we may do another one towards the end of the month. But we haven't just defined a date and we haven't solidified that yet. We just want to see what the response is first.
Okay, and you did mention a third event. So on the 20th, another Thursday, the 20th of April, there will be a tour of all the schools. And so that kind of gets us into the next thing we need to talk about, which is what is this bond measure going to pay for, and specifically maybe even school to school, what are the needs that we need this, or that this money will be spent on, at least initially?
Sure. And yeah, so you talk about the event that's coming up on the 20th, and that is a public tour of the facilities. And the reason we wanted to do that is, you know, one thing we did hear is I just didn't know enough about the bond measure in November. So this is a step in that direction to not just the forums, but also, you know, allow the community to show up, you know, go through the schools, see what they look like, see what's going on. You know, if you talk to students at any level, the elementary school or the junior, senior high school, you know, one of the biggest issues you hear is, you know, air conditioning or heating. So let me step back out for a second. So, you know, we went through this long process to do a bond. You know, I had to learn this as a relatively new school board member in my sixth year, but this is the first bond I've been through. And so I had to learn about it, and it's a long process. It's a very long, kind of drawn out, complicated process. First step is you know that you want to possibly go for one. You bring in outside architecture firms, and they do this really large needs assessment of your facilities, and they find everything. You know, they go through.
Abilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest.
Well, looks like my backup plan ran out of steam there, so I guess that's all of that interview we're going to have. But these shows are available on our website, so if you do want to hear the rest of that interview from a few weeks back, you can go to 943thebridge.com, click on the audio tab, and then click on Rogue Talk, and a list of all the previous shows, except one that we've talked about before, are all listed on there, and you can stream those or listen, or you can download them and listen to them. So if you want to get that interview, that is available there. And to kind of go into what he was talking about there, when we were kind of getting into the meat and potatoes of it, which is what I really wanted to cover, there are some specific infrastructure issues that are the main uses for this bond measure. Of course, they want to put in air conditioning. They don't even have it at the elementary school. So they'd like to do that. They'd like to update the systems out at the high school. We mentioned here before, and I don't have the link in front of me, but there's a video that's available on YouTube and also on Facebook that the students did, and they were kind of showing how they can go from one classroom for first period and be freezing cold and go to another classroom that's right next door for maybe second period, and, you know, it's 20 degrees warmer in that classroom. And so there's definitely, you know, updating that needs to be done. They want to make the schools safer with single entry access to the school, where the school can better monitor who's coming and going from the campuses, as a safety measure, because unfortunately we do know that you know, there are incidents on, you know, in schools, among other places. In fact, we had a shooting incident, you know, not that far from here at the Umpqua Community College up there near Roseburg. And so, you know, safety is definitely something we want to be thinking about. And so that was another use for this. The one thing I would say, you know, I mentioned before, if you want to read about different candidates for some of the different positions, you can look in the voter pamphlet. Although when it comes to the bond measure, the one thing I will say that it doesn't really spell out in the description, they do a pretty good job of mentioning, you know, how much the bond is and what the term is and what the funds, at least in general, what the funds will be used for. They mention that there are some state matching funds that could be available to them, but they have to secure the bond in order to qualify for those funds. And I believe they're second on a waiting list to apply for those funds. So there's a good chance that they will get the matching funds. It's not a guarantee, but the guarantee is if the bond doesn't pass, they won't get those. Now, what wasn't explained in the description is the fact that that this is replacing an expiring bond. So it is a new tax. The old bond was an old tax and it's expiring, and this is a new tax. But what they have done is they've kept it at a level that won't really significantly change the level of taxation on your property taxes one way or the other. It'll remain approximately the same. Now, as you know, those taxes can vary based on other factors, but the general, you know, level where they'll fall will put them, you know, right on par with what the old bond measure was. And so that part isn't necessarily spelled out in the description. I've seen a lot of talk on, you know, on social media kind of answering some of those questions. And, you know, one of the things I pointed out is this whole matching funds thing, the kind of the carrot and the stick type of thing that the state is doing. Well, presumably they do that because they want the community to have a stake in things. They want them to, you know, to show the commitment to their schools before we'll give up these grants and other funding that the state has. And my thought on that is I have a couple of problems with that. And that's not a reason not to vote for this bond measure. You can make that decision separately from this. But this comment is more directed toward what the state is doing. First of all, I don't like the carrot and stick kind of thing when it involves the kids and our schools. I don't think that using our kids as leverage or as, you know, some sort of pawn, I just don't think that's a good idea. I don't like it in this instance. In other situations, I could see, you know, you want some buy-in before you're going to, you know, give up the extra funds, but I don't know that this is the place to do that. But the other thing I would say with, you know, being the state of Oregon, at least as far as the government in the state of Oregon goes, it's very left-leaning. It tends to do things that are favored, you know, by the liberal progressives in the state. The state is run by the, you know, from Salem North. That's just the way the politics work out because of the population density in the northern half of the state. And having said that, we look at this whole healthcare debate. They're always pushing for single payer. That's the panacea. That's what's going to make everybody happy. And that's what they tell us. And not to get into a discussion about healthcare, but it's always this idea of an equality for everyone. And it's an equality that they claim that the government can provide for us. Well, if that's what your philosophy is, you know, whether we agree with it or not, and some of you may and some of you may not, if that's the philosophy that the state operates under, and in most cases it seems to be, then why aren't we distributing those funds equally? It's supposed to be about equality. Why are we punishing, you know, maybe a community that's, you know, that isn't as affluent and maybe just doesn't really want to impose more taxes on themselves? under the progressive liberal mindset, why are we punishing them? Why are we using the carrot and the stick to get them, you know, for buy-in if they can't afford the buy-in? Now, my point of view might be different, but my point of view is really somewhat meaningless when it comes to state government, because I don't share the same ideology as the people that run our state. But if we're going to be consistent with their ideology, then we shouldn't be playing the carrot and stick, you know, thing with this. And so those would be the two things I would say as a side note on those matching funds. It has nothing to do with whether you should or shouldn't vote for the bond measure. You have to make that decision on your own. And I wasn't going to talk about this anymore, but I had a feeling this was going to be what happened, because I was really struggling with my audio today, and mainly just because I just didn't have the time to commit to it. So I do apologize that we had to cut that interview off. And I said last week that that was my last word on the bond, but we're done. The election is Tuesday, so you're not going to hear any more from me about whether or not you should vote for this. But I do encourage you to get yourself educated about it and make an educated choice one way or the other. And that's all you can do on that. So we're going to take a break. And when I come back, I've got some community events to promote, and we'll talk about the upcoming sports schedule. So hang in there. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. FedEx Corporation is confirming that it is suffering a malware attack. A statement from the delivery company Friday said its Windows-based systems were experiencing interference due to malware and that it was trying to fix the issue as quickly as possible. It gave no further details. Computer systems at companies and hospitals in dozens of countries were hit Friday, apparently part of a large extortion plot. The so-called ransomware attack appears to exploit a weakness that was purportedly identified by the U.S. National Security Agency and leaked to the Internet. It encrypts data on infected computers and demands payment before the information is unencrypted. The chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee says he doesn't think the FBI investigation into alleged links between President Trump's campaign and Russia is the reason Trump fired FBI Director James Comey. This is SRN News.
Talking about things that matter. 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. The government says fewer Americans were looking for jobless benefits last week. According to the Labor Department, initial claims for unemployment aid last week fell by 2,000 to 236,000. The overall number of Americans collecting unemployment checks has dropped to 1.92 million. This is the lowest since November of 1988. More evidence the U.S. job market remains strong. The White House is finalizing a budget proposal that promises a balanced federal budget within 10 years. This effort doubles down on cuts to domestic programs and adds a new round of reductions to the Medicaid program for the poor. This budget is expected to be released the week of May 22nd. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost over 23 points with business. I'm done.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and we've got a few minutes left in the show here, and I got a few things I wanted to get out to you. Have you gotten what you needed for Mother's Day? Because it's Sunday, and if you've been dragging your feet on getting those Mother's Day gifts, I've got a solution for you here. In fact, the other night, I was invited to the Rogue River FFA banquet, and most of you know FFA being the Future Farmers of America at the Rogue River High School, and what a wonderful night that was. What a bunch of great young people we have involved in that program, and the the instructor for the program, Mr. Herringshaw, is doing just a fabulous job. So I wanted to thank the FFA for inviting me, and I had a great time. But I also wanted to let you know that if you still need those Mother's Day gifts, I've got the solution. The FFA has their annual plant sale going on. Up above the high school is their greenhouse, and from 9:30 to 5:30, they will be open today. So they've been open all day. They'll be open till 5:30, and they've got a ton of nice stuff. My daughter already got over there yesterday. They actually started the sale yesterday, and I believe they will. They'll be open tomorrow again from 9:30 to 5:30. So just in time for Mother's Day, and they've got some beautiful stuff. My daughter brought home some stuff that she got over there, and just some gorgeous plants. I mean, very healthy, large, you know, just beautiful plants. So get on up there. I don't know what they have left. I haven't been up. In fact, I may make a trip out there when I get done with the show here, if I can squeeze it in. But they had some beautiful hanging baskets in the pictures. They have flats of flowers. I mean, there's all kinds of really nice stuff. And I didn't see any in the pictures, but I believe they have vegetables. They have, at least in the past. And we've had really good luck with the plants that we've gotten from FFA in the past. So get on out there to the high school. Again, 9:30 to 5:30. They're open today. They're open tomorrow up in the greenhouse up above the high school. And so definitely take advantage of that. We do have a little bit of breaking news. I'm not going to have a lot of time, be able to spend too much time on this, but the former music teacher, Jacob Viscara, had been arrested. Oh, it's been months and months ago. He was finally sentenced, and let me bring this up, but you may not believe this, and I don't know all the details yet, but he was sentenced to 30 days in jail for sex with a student. And I know there's a lot to this, and I don't have time today to get into it, and I don't even have all the facts yet. I haven't been able to read all the information. Probably the main thing to understand is that the victim in this case has maintained that the relationship was consensual. Now, that doesn't make it right, but it may have had something to do with, you know, what the sentencing ended up being. But that was some breaking news that he was sentenced to 30 days in jail, and doesn't seem like enough to me. But again, I don't have all the details, so I won't speculate too much more on that. Also, the next play is underway at the high school. And trying to find the times on that, but tonight and tomorrow night, and then again on the 19th and 20th, those shows will be the play is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And just trying to get it up here again so I can tell you what the start time is for that. But those will be, again, that's tonight out at the high school, tonight and tomorrow night, and then again May 19th and 20th, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I may run out of time before I find this for you here, and if I do, I apologize. You can contact the school and confirm that. I believe those start at 6 o'clock, but I just can't get it to come up quick enough for you, and I got a couple more things we need to hit here before I run out of time. So also back to the sports, the baseball and softball team have their final games of the regular season tomorrow. They'll both be playing doubleheaders. They'll both start at noon tomorrow. We'll have two games tomorrow. We're going to start with softball game one, and then we'll move over and do baseball game two. And if you we'll have those right here on 94.3 The Bridge, but you can also head out there and catch those games, and be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's hometown voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.